I want to come in agreement with what Candace said earlier. I miss you guys so much. I cannot wait to give. I saw someone say on Instagram that the first hug after, you know, all this is over that you give to someone at church, it's going to hit a little bit differently. So, and I feel that. I'm not a big hugger. Vegas is not a big hugger. We're just one of those people where it's like, don't touch me, to be honest. But at the same time, I miss you guys so much. And for the first time in a long time, I'm craving a hug from you guys. And I'm so excited to be together once all of this is over. But until then, like Candace said earlier, this is temporary. This is not our new normal, but we must endure until all of this is over. So I'm so proud of you guys for enduring, for continuing to tune in. I know that it's not easy sometimes to get out of your routine. I'm one of those people where I can go with changes, but I don't really like change. And so for a lot of you guys, you've made this adjustment, you've made this change to tune into our services diligently, and I'm so proud of you for doing that. I'm so proud of the body of Jesus Christ. I'll wake up on a Friday or on a Sunday morning, and I'll look at my newsfeed on Facebook, and it's church service and church service and church service and this church and that church. And it's just such a beautiful picture to me how the body of Christ is still here, and even in the midst of this pandemic, and we are continuing and we are pressing forward even in the midst of all this. And I am just so proud of the bride of Christ. I'm so proud of the body of the Christ because of all this, because it's not just our church, it's churches all in our area. We are being flexible. Pastor Drew will joke and say, the Bible says, blessed are the flexible. The body of Christ is being flexible right now. You guys are being flexible by tuning into our live streams, and I am so proud of not just our church, but the body of Christ in general. So I have a timely message for you guys, a message that as I was reading this passage of scripture, I just got a word and I said, wow, if this is not perfect for right now, I don't know when else to preach this. So I have a great message for us today. Let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Holy Spirit, go ahead and do whatever you want to do in the homes of everyone who is watching tonight. We just bless this Hope at Home service. God, I just pray that every even teenager, child, and older person, God, would just be blessed by this in the name of Jesus, and that you would help us to be able to apply this into our lives, in our every single day lives. Help us to come out of this live stream stronger, more encouraged, and able to apply the Word of God into our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So like I said, I have a timely message for you guys today. I was reading this portion of scripture, and I would like you guys to tune there with me. They're going to have the verse on the screen for you guys to read with us. It's a story in 2 Kings chapter 3, and we're going to read about a prophet. His name is Elisha. Not Elijah, Elisha, which was Elijah's, you know, prodigy. So Elisha is now the new prophet to the people of Israel. He's the man of God that whenever Israel is going through hard times, they have a prophet who they turn to. It's like their pastor, and they say, what do we do now? What is the word? What are the word of God saying? Just like you guys, maybe if you're not sure what the word of God is saying, you turn to your pastor. You turn on to the word of God. This is what Israel is doing. They're in the middle of a battle, and they have no idea what to do. They're in the middle of a crisis, and so what God has asked them to do is to turn to the man of God, which was Elisha at this time. And so the battle is beginning. They're going into battle. They right now, the odds are against them. And they find themselves in a terrible situation because as they're going into the battle, they run out of food and they run out of water because they're in the middle of a drought. And now they're in a valley. So they're marching into the battle for weeks on end. They get to this valley. They run out of food. They run out of water. And how many of you guys know you need nourishment if you're going to go into a battle, if you're going to go into a war? I need extra nourishment just if I go to Disneyland. If I go to Disneyland, I make sure I have a big breakfast that day because I know I'm going to be doing a lot of walking, and I don't want to buy a $10, you know, hot dog, so I fill up because I know my energy tank, I need lots of food, I need lots of nourishment. If you're going to, you know, a long trip, like a hiking trip, you eat an extra protein bar, you do what you need to do in order to have extra nourishment for your body. So now they're going into the battle, a time where they need nourishment more than ever before, and they have no food, and they have no water, and they are about ready to die if they don't have water, because how many of you guys know our bodies cannot last very long without water. Maybe you can last a good amount without food, but not without water. So they're in the middle of a drought, and they're in the middle of a valley where there's no water. And so the kings turn to Elisha and say, what do we do? What do we do? Let's go ahead and go into 2 Kings chapter 3. Let's start at verse 15. So that's what's happening right now, so I can paint the picture for you. The kings say, what do we do? And Elisha tells the kings, this is Elisha speaking, bring me a harp. Bring me someone who can play the harp. While the harp was being played, the power of the Lord came upon Elisha. Let's stop right there before I move forward. The man of God set the stage to hear a word from God. He said, I don't want to just come up with something on my own. Get someone who can start worshiping so I can set the stage to be able to hear the voice of God. Some of you guys, you say, okay, I can't hear the voice of God. I haven't heard anything lately. When was the last time you turned on some worship music and got alone in your room and set the stage for you to be able to hear God's voice? Sometimes God's voice speaks to you automatically. I'll be in the grocery store and I'll just hear God's voice. But sometimes you need to set the stage, especially in the middle of a hard time. So Elisha is literally, as of right now, the prime man of God walking the earth, and even he says, get someone who could play a harp because I need to get in the presence of God before I just give you a word. I need to get alone with God, and I need to set the tone for me to hear. So don't take advantage of that, knowing that sometimes you are going to have to go alone, and you're going to have to set the stage and worship God for you to be able to hear a word from him. Amen? Amen. If you're not hearing the voice of God, that's a nugget for you. Get alone with God. Get alone. Put on some worship music. Listen to word. If you're in a season where you haven't heard God speak in a long time, I would implore you to go into a secular music fast where you are doing nothing but listening to worship music. Because whatever you set the tone for, that is what it is going to be speaking to you. So I would say that if you are constantly saying, God, you're glorified. God, I lift you up. God, I worship you. I promise you, you will be more receptive to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. But if you're listening to what the world has to say in your music all the time, don't be surprised when you cannot hear what God wants to say. And then you blame it on God's not speaking to me right now. No, you're just most likely not hearing him right now because you're not setting the stage to hear him speaking. Amen? You have to incline your ear to his voice. That's just a side point. But I just love that. And I couldn't keep moving on without noticing, hey, even in the Old Testament, the prophet had to say, bring in a harp so I can hear what the Lord is saying. It says, while the harp was being played, while he set the stage for worship to hear the voice of God, the power of the Lord came upon Elisha. And he said, this is what the Lord says. Now he hears the voice of God speaking. This dry valley will be filled with pools of water. You will see neither wind nor rain, says the Lord, but this valley will be filled with water. You will have plenty for yourselves and for your cattle and other animals. So now here's the promise of God coming, saying, hey, it's not going to rain. There's not going to be a wind. The water is just going to come. So here's the promise that they're hearing. But is this the next verse, guys? But this is only a simple thing for the Lord, for he will make you victorious over the army of Moab. You will conquer the best of their towns, even fortified ones. You will cut down their trees, stop up their springs, and ruin all of their good land with stones. The next day, I think I missed a verse, guys. Is there a verse about, can we go back to 16? 16. Yes, and can I just have the next one? Okay, sorry, the next one. Next one. You will conquer their beasts and their towns, even the fortified ones. You will cut down the good trees, stop up their springs, and ruin all of their good lands with stones. Next one. The next day, about that time, when the morning sacrifice was offered, water suddenly appeared. It was flowing for the direction of Edom, and soon there was water everywhere. There is a part in this before where Elisha is being told by the Lord that you need to tell the people to dig a ditch. You need to dig ditches. That's what the Holy Spirit tells Elisha in that moment, is tell the people that the water is coming, but before the water comes, you have to dig a ditch. That is what the word of the Lord tells Elisha. And the word that I have for you guys today is that sometimes God will tell you to dig a ditch before the miracle comes. That's going to be the name of what we're going to be talking about today, is preparing for a miracle before you see the miracle. Amen? So the word that is spoken to Elijah is tell the army to dig ditches before they see the miracle. We're in a season right now where, you know, we're in this pandemic. You're staying at home. You're staying in quarantine. And some of you guys are believing for a miracle. And I'm telling you right now that God might be telling you, before I give you the miracle, will you prepare for the miracle? You know, we might say, God, I want a miracle, and God's response to us will say, dig a ditch. What does that mean? It means, I'll give you a miracle, but I want to partner with you, and you need to show me action. Amen? Amen? We're in this time where maybe you are believing. A couple of examples that come to my mind. Maybe you are believing for a future spouse, and God says, dig a ditch. Work on yourself, boo-boo, because I cannot send you a miracle of your future spouse if you are not ready to receive that miracle. God does not want the miracle to be wasted. He knew, God said, if I would have brought all that water in and I just gave you the miracle, but you didn't dig the ditches, it would have just flooded the area and it would have soaked all over the grass, and they wouldn't have been able to receive the miracle. Do not allow a miracle to be wasted. You need to make sure that you are preparing for the miracle ahead of time. God wants you to prepare yourself for a miracle. So you say, okay, well, I'm going to church and I'm asking God for a miracle. Sometimes God will give you an answer that you don't want to hear. Sometimes we want an automatic answer and we just want to hear from God say, oh, you want a spouse? Well, here's your new spouse. And hallelujah. And all of a sudden you're glowing and you just have this perfect life. And I'm sorry, honey boo-boo. That's not how life works. That's not how most miracles work. Most miracles work by, you know, as soon as we ask for the miracle, instructions are most likely to follow. So Elisha goes to the people. He spends time with God. And instead of saying, yes, God's going to give you water and you have to do nothing, he says, you want to see a miracle? Start digging ditches in this valley. Start to dig ditches in this valley. And then God will flood this valley. Second Kings verse 16. And then, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. That's the word of God to us right now. Are you waiting for a miracle? Dig a ditch. Prepare yourself for the miracle. Well, God, I'm asking for a miracle of being set free from lust. Okay, well, God says, dig a ditch. Get accountability in your life, because I'm not going to heal you. I'm not going to just automatically heal you if you aren't willing to put accountability in your life. You're waiting for the miracle of God blessing your finances. God says, dig a ditch. Start putting money away right now. Start saving right now. Stop spending every single penny on yourself. Why am I going to help you financially by giving you a blessing to help get you out of debt if you're just going to get yourself back in debt again if you don't start preparing for the miracle? And I think that a lot of the times we just want the yes man answer from God. Give me the spouse. Give me the marriage, the perfect marriage. Give me the healing. Give me, give me, give me. And God is saying, I will not allow miracles to be wasted. I need you to be a good steward of the miracle that I want to give you. Are you willing to dig a ditch before I give you the water? Because if I give you the water and you don't dig a ditch, all of that water is going to be wasted. But if you work hard and diligently, and you start digging the ditches now, when the water comes, it will not be wasted. If you, as a single person, say, I'm going to work on my control issues, I'm going to work on my patience, I'm going to make sure that I look like a Proverbs 31 woman now in my singleness, then when the water comes, when the spouse comes, you will not ruin that relationship because you've spent that time working on yourself, that time where you were financially reading books on how to take care of your finances. So then when God gives you those finances, they are not wasted. When God is willing to heal you of your brokenness from a lust issue, then you don't just fall back into it 5 months later because you now have good accountability and that healing was not wasted. I can come up with 20 more examples. Here's my point. I don't know what miracle that you're asking for, but I know for a fact that we serve a God who does not like to just do it automatically. He likes to not just do things for us. He likes to partner with us. You don't believe me? Look at Adam in the very beginning of creation when everything was perfect. God made everything. He made the sun and the stars and the greenery and the ocean, and he made everything. And yet, when it's all said and done, he tells Adam, I want you to start naming these animals. I want you, because he gives us jobs to do. Because that's what God wants. He has made us after his own heart. He doesn't want us just to receive and not do anything. God has called you as a sister or a brother in Christ to produce fruit in your life, to not be lazy, to not just sit back and expect God or your family or your friends to do everything for you. He wants to partner with you, and he's going to give you a job. So I encourage you, if you're praying, if you're coming to church saying, God was my miracle, I would say you need to do what Elisha did. You need to set the stage to hear his voice and then be willing to receive instruction when you hear his voice. God says, I need to create structure in your life so that the miracle is not wasted. There's structures even in our land right now to where if a flash flood came, we have drainage systems to be able to prepare for that. Amen? Right now, in this pandemic, where it has been multiple weeks, I believe that this could be a time where God is saying, I'm creating structure in your life. This is actually a good part in your life where you have weeks alone at home, or maybe you have weeks where you have to depend on him more than normal. This is actually a beautiful, godly time for you to create structure in your life and prepare yourself for the miracle that God wants to come and God wants to give you. But if you are not digging a ditch, and I want to put things in perspective, these men were tired, they were weary, they had no water, they had no food for a long time. And when the prophet and the king say, okay guys, we got a word from God, the word is that you need to now spend all day digging. I promise you, and every single young person at this church who has been digging for the past couple weeks can relate, it is not a fun process to dig. It's not fun when you're tired and hungry and thirsty to then be told, okay, now what I want you to do is spend hours taking up hard soil, because remember, they're in the middle of a drought. I guarantee you it wasn't moist. They probably didn't have a lot of shovels. They probably maybe had swords. Maybe they used their hands. I don't know, but they had to become resourceful to obey the word of the Lord. Amen? Become resourceful to begin to obey the word of the Lord. And if when you receive instructions, it's not what you want to hear, I'm sorry, that's how our God operates a lot of the time. Our God operates where he will ask you to do something that is uncomfortable, that is not convenient. God says, I want you to prepare for the miracle. I want you to dig a ditch. And I'm not sure what the miracle is that you want in your life, but I promise you God wants you to prepare for it. And this pandemic season might be a perfect opportunity for you to be able to work and start digging those ditches that God is asking you to dig right now. Amen? And I love this, example, because even though it was hard, God will not ask you to do something that you cannot do. God is saying, okay, I know this is going to be hard, but you can dig a ditch. And that's the kind of God that we serve, where he will ask you something that you can do. He knows that they can't make water fall from heaven. He knows that they're not able to make, you know, bread just appear by a snap. He's not asking them to do impossible. He's asking them to do something hard. So if God is asking you to do something and it's hard, just know that he's asking you to do it because he believes that you are capable of doing it, even though it is probably hard, probably uncomfortable. And if you go back to, I think, verse 18 or 19, it says that the people went to bed without their miracle. It says, and then they went to bed, and the next morning there was water. You know what that tells me? It tells me that they had to go to bed that night without seeing their miracle happen yet. They went to bed with chapped lips. They went to bed with probably hard, dirty hands. They went to bed thirsty, and they went to bed hungry. Which means that they didn't see their miracle necessarily ASAP when they wanted to see it. They had to go to bed just knowing, at least I did my part preparing for the miracle. Maybe you're going to have a couple of lonely nights. Maybe you're going to have a couple of tight budgeted seasons. Maybe you're going to have a couple really hard conversations with your pastor. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But you have to decide in your being, I am going to prepare for this miracle because I know that I serve a God that expects something from me. Because my God loves me and he trusts me and he wants the best for me. And I am not going to just expect the Christian life to be the easy life. I know that I'm going to have to go to bed tonight after digging ditches. And I'm going to be okay with it. Because I know the promise that's been promised to me, and I know that my God is not asking me to do something that I cannot do. He's asking me to do something because he wants to partner with me because the miracle is coming. Amen? And boy, did it come. The next day it says that there was a flood that came in, and all the water went into all of the ditches, and now they have well water to be able to sustain them. And then the next promise to them is, oh yeah, and you're going to win the battle. God is telling you, prepare, build the way, and you will win the battle. Amen? I think about how in 21st century Christianity, it can become really easy to believe that God doesn't want you to do anything, and he's, you know, going to just take care of it all on his own, and you could just sit back and just believe, and if you just believe, then it's going to happen. And that's not true, because we have to compare everything to the Word of God. And the Word of God, we see plenty of times where God is asking people to partner with him and telling them what they need to do. So he told Abraham, I need you to go out from your own country. That was very uncomfortable for him. He had never left his own country. But Abraham goes, and then he tells Noah, I need you to build a boat, and we know that it took him literally over 50 years to build that boat. And then he told Elijah, I want you to go ahead and build an altar. And then he told Peter, I want you to come walk on the water. And then he told the disciples, I want you to go out and feed the people. And then he told the prophets, tell the woman, I want you to grab empty vessels for you to be able to have the oil filled. And then the prophet told the other woman, I need you to make me a cake with your very, very last little bit of food. We see all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, God is giving instructions when people want a miracle. That is why today's sermon is titled, Prepare for the Miracle. The same God that was there yesterday, and the same God that is there today, the same God that will be there tomorrow, he is the same. He is not a yes man God. He is a partner with me God. He wants to work with you. So they had to go that entire night, not seeing their miracle. But in the morning, they woke up and they heard, what is that? Running water? And can you imagine their faces as they walked outside of their tents and with their cracked lips? And they're, you know, when you wake up at 1 in the morning and you were kind of thirsty at nighttime, but you were like, I'm too tired. I'm just going to fall asleep. And then at 2 in the morning, you're like, water! You're like running to it and you're like, like, I just imagine that in the morning time, they're like, water! And they're splashing the water in their faces, and they're feeding it to their camels, and they're feeding it to all their animals that they thought they were going to die because they thought they were going to die, and they thought their animals were going to die. And God's promise came to pass. But that promise would not come to pass if those people did not do the action required of them to receive that miracle. I truly believe that prophecy, when someone gives a word of prophecy, it's not automatic. You have to be obedient to what the Lord is asking you to do. Well, God promised me a man of God. God promised me. I heard from at a conference, and this prophetic person said, I'm going to have a strong, handsome man one day. Okay, good, but you're not going to have that promise if you're in the clubs looking for him. Because God didn't say, if you go looking in the clubs, you're going to find a man of God. He said, stay where you are right now in the church, and it might take a couple more years, but you will see your man of God come. Sometimes we try to force things to happen that was not the instruction of the Lord for your life. And it's hard sometimes. You know, a lot of us received those checks, the $1,200 checks. I don't know what God is asking you to do, but here's what I know for sure. He's at least asked you to tithe on that check. Tithe on it. Even if you can't give more than that, can you be obedient to the word of God right now to tithe on that check? Because I know that that for sure is something that he's asked you to do. Amen? Just do what God has asked you to do and prepare the way for the miracle to come. Amen? As I was reading that text, I just thought, man, that's just so timely for us right now when we have so much downtime and we're all believing for miracles and we're believing that we're going to be all together. And I would just say, hey, ministry is still going on. Amen, guys? Don't worry about it. Prepare yourself so that when you come back to church, that when that miracle day comes, you could say, I did not waste the time that I spent at home. It was not wasted. I dug a ditch. I prepared for that miracle to happen. I prayed for my pastors. I prayed for Hope Community. I prayed for the body of Christ. I did everything I could to make sure that in the time preparation period, I did what God was asking me to do. And God is going to ask the people then to dig a ditch. And I'm not necessarily sure what he is asking you to do in this season. But like I said, if you're not sure what he's asking you to do, I promise you, if you're asking for a miracle, instructions are going to follow for that miracle that you're asking. Amen? So do exactly what the prophet Elisha did. He said, get a harp, get someone who can play the harp. And he set the tone to hear the voice of God. Set the tone to hear the voice of God in your life. And make sure that your heart is in the right place to where if you hear something and it's not what you wanted to hear, you're okay with it. Amen? Because I promise you, those men, they did not want to hear, oh yes, now spend 8 hours thirsty digging a ditch. It's not what they wanted to hear. But it's what they needed to do. And it's what God was asking them to do, to prepare for the miracle that was coming. God is asking us to prepare as the bride of Jesus Christ. Prepare for the miracle. Prepare for Jesus coming back one day, because he is going to come back for a beautiful bride. He says that in the New Testament, that he is coming back, and when he comes back, he is looking for a glorious bride. That's a representation that when Jesus comes to see his bride, he doesn't want us looking like a disgruntled mess where our hair is all messed up, we don't have our makeup done, and we look hideous, still rolling in our sin. He's asking you, leave your life of sin behind now so that when I come back, you are the beautiful bride that I paid the price for. You are the bride that I've paid, and I put the wedding ring on your finger. I paid for a beautiful, spotless lamb. This is the time where we can work on ourselves more than ever before, because a lot of us are at home. A lot of us have free time to spend more time with God. A lot of us have more time to spend with our children. A lot of us have more time to be able to start digging those ditches that maybe you've been putting off for a while, that miracle that God has for us. Amen? That's my message for you guys today. I know it's short. I know it's simple. Candace said, hey, you got a good message tonight. I said, yeah, it's simple, but it's powerful. But it's not powerful because they're my words. It's powerful because if we apply action into our lives, that is when we see a move of God. Amen. It's powerful because I'm actually imploring the body of Christ. It's a call to action. Prepare for the miracle. Dig the ditch. That's why it's powerful. It's powerful because I'm not just giving you a tickling of the ears and saying God loves you and he's not going to ask you to do anything. It's powerful because I am imploring the body of Christ to dig a ditch and prepare the way of the Lord for the miracle that is coming. Amen? That is why it's powerful. God, I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you, God, that you are going to strengthen us through this. I thank you, God, that you are going to speak instruction to the body of Christ, those people who are willing to hear your voice, those people who are willing to set aside time and say, God, speak for your servant is listening, those people who are saying, God, I don't want to just have an easy, convenient life. I want to hear what is the instruction that you have for me so that this time is not wasted, so that the miracle is not wasted. I don't want one word that you say to me fall to the floor. I want to apply the words that you have for me into my life, God. And I'm willing to do that, just like Abraham had to do it, and Noah, and Elisha, and the disciples, and even Jesus Christ had to follow the instruction of the Lord in order to see his will done on earth as it is in heaven, God. I pray that you would just help use us, God, as your vessels, as the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, to have your will done on earth as it is in heaven, even in the middle of this pandemic right now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Pastor Drew and Pastor Isaac have something that they want to say and that they want to share with our congregation before we close our service today. Thank you.
Hello, everybody who's at home and wherever you're watching. I want to read a scripture before sharing what I have to share with you guys tonight. So if you guys want to turn to Psalms chapter 62, we're going to start at verse 5. It says, my soul wait silently for God alone. My soul wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from who? From him, from God. It says, so he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And it continues saying, in God is my salvation. Everybody say that at home. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Listen, this morning or this afternoon, we found out that my dad, Pastor George, came back COVID-19 positive. And as soon as the news broke, obviously it was a shock to my family and I. He had been a little under the weather this week, and he had told us that one of his coworkers was feeling kind of sick, so his coworker wanted to go get tested first, and sure enough, he came back positive. Yesterday, his coworker called me, and we prayed on the spot. My dad was kind of in bed, just resting, dealing with fever and whatever, you know, whatever the enemy wanted to throw at him. And this morning, we got the call from the hospital that he had been tested positive for coronavirus, and it really hits home when it's near your house. You know, people have been kind of freaking out about it. But listen, as soon as we got the news, we started to pray. We started to rebuke whatever the report of the doctor was. And obviously taking the proper measures to be safe. I last saw him on Resurrection Sunday, and we hung out pretty much at his house all day. So obviously I have little kids at home, and I have my wife at home, and I work in an environment where there's a lot of people. So I went to a center this morning, and I got tested myself, and they have these rapid tests. They're pretty crazy. They stuck some stuff up my nose, and within 20 minutes they came back and said that I was negative. So praise God for that. So I just want to encourage you guys, listen, just because I tell people this all the time, just because your pastors are up here doesn't mean that they don't go through tribulation. The Bible doesn't promise pastors and ministers to, you know what, this world will have affliction, but you guys are exempt. Listen, we're all in this together. And right now, what we need is your prayers. We need you to come into agreement with us. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, he shows up, and we're believing that Pastor George is going to be out of where he is right now. Honestly, what we ask as a family, as a Fernandez family, as a Hope family, is it's easy to start freaking out and saying, you know what, I was around. That was the first thing I thought. And God said, well, listen, go get tested. I felt like I needed to go get tested for my family. Everything was negative. But listen, don't let your mind play tricks on you. Don't let the enemy come and lie to you. All you have to do is let's come together. Remember that movie that we watched together? Was it Unbreakable? Unbreakable, the one where the kid falls into the lake? Yeah, breakthrough. Unbreakable. That's another one. Listen, I don't need your negative text, and I'm saying that in love. I need positive. If you're gonna call me and say, you know, we're praying with you. I don't want to hear about, well, I heard this case over here, this happened, and this case over there happened. Listen, this is the time, church, where we're like the Church of Acts. We come together now in agreement and just in the Word of God, and then. I'm declaring today, church, that my dad is healed, he's whole, and I'm declaring that, hey, listen, let's come together. I don't know if you want to join me, but tomorrow I know my family, we're going to fast. We're going to fast throughout the day and just declare that, not just Pastor George. Honestly, there's a lot of people that are in the hospitals right now suffering from this thing. And honestly, it's an eye-opener, you know, but let's come together, not just for Pastor George, but for other people in the body of Christ that have been affected by this, by other people that are unbelievers. Let's pray that God moves tonight and that people will just come running to Jesus and who are desperate, because people are desperate. And people are freaking out. And listen, this is a great time for the church to wake up, to stand up on God's promises and believing that God is going to move. Amen. So we love you guys. Listen, you see me. This is not no phony me talking to you guys. This is, I'm standing firm and believing that God is going to move. And this is why I'm confident in this, that God is going to move in my dad's life. He's going to be walking around preaching the word of God. Amen. So if you, let's just pray together, just come in agreement before I let Pastor Drew, before I ask Pastor Drew to come up here, let's just pray together. Father, we thank you tonight. We stand on your word that by your stripes we have been healed. Yes. Lord, we believe that the same God that rose Jesus from the dead, Lord, is going to raise Pastor George out of that bed that he is right now, Jesus. We believe, we come together in agreement. We rebuke any negative results, any negative reports, and we just declare life and wholeness over his body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, sorry if I look a little scruffy tonight. I have been working. I've been digging ditches. And what'd you do yesterday? We were digging ditches. And what'd you do the day before? We, you know, it's a, wow, what a timely message. Because we went to bed last night having not seen the miracle. But we'll believe that we'll see it. But as this news came to me this afternoon, I wanted to address you, and I want to be straight up with you. There were just a deluge of scriptures that rushed to my head and my heart, and I want to share them with you because... Listen to me, church. Now is not the time to retreat. Now is not the time to walk in fear. Now is not the time for us to start to allow the voice of the enemy to convince us that God's word is not true. Let me tell you what. God's word is true. Let God be true. And every man a liar. And you know, there's sometimes when, you know what, you just gotta stand up and say, that's what the word says, and that's what I'm standing. You know what? If think about this for a minute, and you say, Pastor, you're getting excited. Absolutely, I'm getting excited. Because let me tell you what, the word is exciting. I tell you what, if I'm Pastor George's wife, you know what? I want a pastor that's going to lead me to victory. Amen. Not talk to me about a bunch of jive talk about what might happen, what could happen. Well, you never know. You know what? Silencio, por favor. Amen. Now is not the time for that garbage. We are people. We have, listen to me, church. We have a covenant with God. Why are we acting like we don't? That's what David said when he's like, what? Why are you allowing Goliath to intimidate us? Amen. We just read this. Guys, we just read this. Listen to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians. We just read this. Listen to what he says. For all the promises of God. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Sorry, it's not in order. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. That means amen says, let it happen to the glory of God through us. Guys, God's promises are true. God's promises are true. Turn to Isaiah. Isaiah. Chapter 54, we have it up here on the screen. You know what? Why am I doing this? Because I want you, listen to me, listen guys. Our soul, which is our emotions,
Listen to me, church. We've got a great opportunity. We've got to step up. The word of God is clear. And so we've got a great opportunity here. Look what he says. I've been praying this all month long. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon. And every word which rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteous is from me, says the Lord. Listen, church, we have a heritage. Pastor George has a heritage. And so we need to stick on the word of God. You know what? I'm fully convinced. Shayla, thank you for preaching the word. Outstanding word, timely word, helpful word. I am fully convinced that what Satan has meant for our destruction, if we will focus on, you know what I believe? I started to teach this Sunday. I believe to a great extent, and I'm talking about non-Christians, but I'm also talking about Christians. See, there's a bunch of non-Christians who never were dependent on God. Because if they got something, if they got some sickness or disease, predominantly, they could go to the hospital and the doctors would say, oh yeah, we have the cure. We have this. Take this, take that, take this. And so we just walk in this confidence like, hey, I got it wired. But have you noticed? How many know the doctors don't have, they don't know what's going on. They're trying, but they don't know. And now a lot of non-Christians are seeking God and recognizing, wow, maybe we need to seek God. But listen to me, church. I believe that there's a lot of Christians, maybe a lot of you who are watching. And if you're honest with yourself, you've been too dependent on you or your business or the medical field, or some kind of substitution for God. Are you saying that God, you brought this? I'm not saying, of course, I'm not saying that God brought this. What I'm saying is, can something that happens cause us to scratch our head and to start to think and say, oh my goodness, I need to depend on God? Of course that can. Listen, in my spirit last week, and wasn't in my notes, wasn't even planning on saying it, but I felt in my spirit when I hope you're watching me at 10 o'clock. I hope you're watching me at 10 o'clock. I hope you're not too busy. Listen to me. Take the opportunity that we have and seize that opportunity. Some of you have never been able to stay at home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Some of you can do that. Listen, don't be too busy, you know what, cleaning the carpet at 10 o'clock. pay attention, guys. But in my spirit, I knew, you know what, start to ask people to pray for me, for my wife, for the leadership of the church, and here's what I said, and the whole entire church. We read another scripture. Hey, isn't it awesome to read your Bible every day? It's just like every day there's nuggets. And these nuggets, let me tell you about these nuggets. These nuggets stay with you. I read this the other day and I was like, oh my goodness. Had never seen it before. How many know you can read stuff every day that you've read 38 times, and God will show you something new that you've never seen before. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And Paul writes this, and I was like, yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 11. You're also helping you're also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks might be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through how many? Many. Could you start praying for Pastor Tamara, for myself, for Pastor George, for Pastor Lydia, for, you know what, Pastor Shayla, for Pastor Joel, you know what, for Pastor Isaac, for the leadership, for Pastor Vegas, for Pastor Paul, and the leadership of the church? Could you start praying for us, and through your prayer, that there be a gift, watch this, granted to us? That's what he's saying. He's saying, your prayers, church, make a difference. Let me tell you what. Isaac prayed, and I appreciate his prayer. But I want to pray. And I did this other day. And again, I excuse my grubbiness today. But I want you to get on your knees. And I don't want you to get on your knees in sorrow. I don't want you to get on your knees in depression. I don't want you to get on your knees in fear. I want you to get on your knees for rejoicing for what God is going to do. You know what? Because we serve a miracle-working God. Can I tell you what? Here, church, here's a good thought. Let's allow the Word of God to change our mind and our thoughts. Because the Bible says that God's name is above every other name that's named. You know, sometimes we get this thought, like when Lucifer started to you know what, to think he was all that in a bag of chips. Sometimes we think like, oh, there's this big battle, and then Lucifer hit him, and then God hit him back, and then Lucifer hit him, and then God hit him, and then Lucifer hit him, and they were struggling, they were fighting, No, that didn't happen. Lucifer said, talked a bunch of smack, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, and God said, boom. Bible says, you know what, that he fell like lightning to the earth. There wasn't a back and forth. There was a, you know what? I hear you. You're done. You're out of here. So I'm not talking to you. Listen, church. One time, you know what? My wife got a bad report from the doctor. And as she was waiting for the test results, the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said this. When you get that report, it's absolutely critical at that time that you respond properly. You know what the Bible says we're to do? We're to mix it with faith, the Bible says. You know what? What's faith? Trusting in God. So I'm not asking you to get on your knees in some kind of doubt and unbelieving, fear. None of that. I'm saying get down on your knees knowing that we serve a living God, that according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that to his promises, they're all his promises, the Bible says, are yea and amen. And let me remind you of one of his promises is that by his stripes we were healed. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes you just have to remind yourself of the Word of God, or you just go left and right and all over the place, start saying stupid things out of your mouth. Listen to me, church. Now is not the time to let your mouth just go all over the place. No, it's not the time. Listen, we got some work to do. You know what the Bible says? Did I tell you? When I heard this, man, I'm still all this word. Fight the good fight of faith. I'm on my knees fighting a good fight. Amen. So don't get on your knees. No. We don't have time for that nonsense. I'm smiling, right? I'm smiling. Carlos, am I smiling? Okay, good. We don't have time for that mess. Father, I thank you according to your word. You said that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Father, you said in your word that, you know what, to all your promises are yea and amen. And you said in your word that by your stripes we're healed. So if we're healed, then Pastor George is healed. And we give you praise and honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen.